You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hi, I'm George Norrie, and welcome to the new iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Like us on Facebook, tell your friends, and share us with everyone. This is an exciting new network that will feature podcasts of the paranormal, supernatural, and the unexplained. Now please sit back and enjoy Dark Becomes Light with Heidi Hollis.
Welcome to our podcast. Please be aware the thoughts and opinions expressed by the host are their thoughts and opinions only and do not reflect those of iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, Coast to Coast AM, employees of Premier Networks, or their sponsors and associates. We would like to encourage you to do your own research and discover the subject matter for yourself.
Listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Welcome to my show. Remember, each week, this is the place you go to when you want to learn the latest when it comes to anything out of the ordinary. I'm talking about shadow people to Bigfoot sitting there driving your car around on the lawn. I don't care what it is. Angels, if you've had near-death experiences, anything and everything out of the ordinary, be sure to go to my main website, which is HeidiHollis.com or ShadowFolks.com, and tell me about it. Tell me your stories. Tell me your thoughts. Tell me your research. Send your drawings to HeidiHollis@gmail.com. Some people have photos. Send those on over as well. And, you know, I just go through it and just feel it out because I'm someone who's been there, seen that, done that, experienced it, freaked out, found some answers, wrote about it, got over it, and now I'm trying to help others do the same darn thing and better understand this crazy world that we're in the midst of. And, you know, nobody has all the answers. Nobody. And ego needs to be left at the door as we try to decipher all the stuff that is going on, right? Yeah, I think that's a good thing and a good lesson for all of us to figure out this crazy world, because man, oh man, do we get some things that come across this desk. And I've been involved in this arena for a very super duper long time. And I am always amazed. I'm always growing. I am always learning. But you know, one thing to be careful of is never try to act like you're schooling somebody in this field. Oh, no. No. You know, it's especially, you know, it cracks me up. I get people say, you know what shadow people are? And do you know? I'm like, my goodness. Yeah, pretty darn aware. I want to tell you guys, go also and check out my paranormal comic strip, theoutlanderscomic.com. And you can follow me on Instagram and all that at theoutlanderscomic. And also put a one in front of my name, at one, Heidi Hollis. And you'll find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, all with that one in front of my name, because there are a bunch of Heidi Hollises out there. And you know what I did? I went and friend requested all of them. I thought it was fun. So anyways, you guys, today is all about my favorite type of show. Guess what that is? Your emails. Oop, I just hit a globe. I would plug my hands out and have a globe. It's a bit of a stretch for me, but it's all about your stories, your emails, anything and everything. And, you know, I like to just dive in and just start somewhere and see where it ends and where it connects, because oftentimes, and I'm not kidding you, these emails connect. And sometimes they're months apart. And I found some old emails that suddenly surfaced because I think somebody likes to go through my emails. I don't know who that would be. talking about doo-doo-doo-doo spooky stuff, because it makes no sense to me why I suddenly get a slam of emails as if they went through somebody else's filter. And suddenly I get a chance to see them. And I'm like, wow. You know, people tell me, I sent you an email a long time ago. I'm like, you did? I can't remember everybody. But I'm like, well, if I got it, I really do try to get to people's emails one way or another. So, yeah. So I'm going to just, you know, kind of start and, you know, join me, you guys. And also, if I'm saying something that seems really, really far off, tell me. Let me know. I try not to take too much offense. I think I met the first internet troll because I had a website up before a lot of people did when it came to UFO websites and whatnot. My website was UFO, the number 2 and the letter U.com. So if that rings a bell, that's mine. And, it's actually still up. It's not as big as it used to be. I used to have a section on there called CAF Speaks. There was a being that myself and my college roommate had some contact with, and she kind of spoke to him, and he would answer emails sometimes. It was kind of interesting, and learned a lot from those conversations. And you know, people are like, what the heck? But this being was not like an abducting alien type. In fact, he had some interesting tales to tell, and spoke of evil things and helped to shed some light on some of these topics that we go over here today. How about that? Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, yeah, it's a long story. it's in my book, The Secret War, just in case you want to see it. And all right, here we go. I've just pulled this up, and it says, Dear Heidi, heard you on your recent Coast to Coast interview. My recent one, okay. Enjoyed your upbeat, objective, serious, and humorous personality on the paranormal. Thank you. Appreciate that. Sometimes people are like, man, you're too chipper to be talking about this dark stuff. Well, everybody puts on the same pan face and talking on these subjects, and I just have to be myself. I just have to be. So I'm glad you appreciate it. Okay, and this person continues, I did have some strange dreams when my mother passed away almost 9 years ago. In a dream, I did see the infamous old hag many Coast to Coast listeners described to you. I can expand more on this, but that experience scared the H-E double hockey sticks out of me. Okay, and you know, I remember I saw this little short email come through. Remember, you guys, I'm always like, tell me more details. Go in depth. Please tell me more. and then I'll see like these little short emails pop through. And if I spot it, I'll respond back. Write more. And I did. I did to this one because I have a note here to self. I asked for more. And this is from Theodore. I like that name. So anyways, this is their response to asking for more. And no, I didn't read it in advance. I have a lot of things I do in the day. I have a lot of things. And I like to be as surprised as you are when reading these emails. So these are authentic reactions. Not kidding. Okay. All right. Hi. Hope all is well with yourself. I enjoyed your interview and podcast. Oh, this is somebody is smoozing. Here we go. You're intelligent. As you are beautiful. Thank you, Theodore. Thank you. That was nice of you. My story is as follows. We had a graveside funeral for my mom when she died. I'm so sorry. That's hard. Myself and my family watched her coffin lowered into her final physical resting place. We cried and mourned for her dying. But she was in a much better place. She was no longer suffering from the pain and ravaged, pancreatic cancer. That is a horrible disease. It moves so quickly. My mom did visit me, my sister, and brother in our dreams when she first passed. That's cool. One night, I had a dream where I saw my sister and mother talking to one another in a very nice bedroom. They both saw me and began talking about their day and where they went shopping. Well, that's kind of casual. That's cool. My mother then said, "Hey, Ted, don't you know I never and still alive, huh?" Oh, hold on. There's a word missing. "Don't you know I never blank and still alive?" So probably to say died. I then said to my mom, "This is not so. You died on this date, buried on this date, and interned at thus cemetery," you informed her. Wow. This is where my mother is. "Madam, who are you?" Oh, this is, you asked this. Okay. It's unclear. I'm trying to make this out. This is where I asked my mother or something, I guess. "Madam, who are you?" When I asked this, oh no. Oh, I'm getting chills. This thing changed from looking like my mother and changed into a hideous looking old hag. Do you get those chills? Do you get these chills? I mean, when I'm sitting here talking and reading these things, I am full of chills. They're on the backs of my arms right now. That's where they've resided. Her appearance was so scary, it defied words. This scared the heck out of me, and then I woke up from this dream. I only had this dream once. A few weeks ago, my sister told me she saw a similar creature around the same time I did. It still disturbs me today. I'm disturbed. When you discuss this with George Norrie and callers on that show and describe the same experience, I had to get in contact with you. Do you have a P.O. box where you receive snail mail? I'm a little older and still like sending letters through the mail. If you respond, that would be great. Have a great day. Theodore." Well, Theodore, I no longer have a P.O. box. I used to at one point. I used to take a lot of people ordering my book, various books that way. It's interesting. You know, people wanted to have a signed book. But then after getting ripped off several times, truth be told, people are like, "Oh, here's a check." And I fell for it because I was a college kid after, you know, I got this published while I was in college. And I had finished, I'm sorry, but I hadn't quite established my career then. I was like, "Oh, sure. It's a nice little letter." And then I just backed away from it. But wow, your story here, I've got a lot to say about this because I can relate. I can absolutely relate to some of the things that you're describing here. And oh, boy. Get ready for some chills, people. All right, you guys, we're going to get to our first break. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Just before the break, we had an interesting email from a Theodore who discussing something a little bit different that we don't get to discuss here much on this program. The old hag. Oh, boy. What a beastly thing that woman is. And there's an old one and a young one. The young one is a little bit newer to my receiving a whole lot of news about, I guess you could say. If you say several years is newer. But old hag, I mean, that thing has just been creeping around forever. Now, the old hag has been seen right alongside of Hat Man and other demonic characters. Hat Man seems to be the director of the club that they all belong to. Why? Because he calls himself the devil. But it's not just me taking his word for it. Actions do speak louder than words. And some of the information that I received from other beings also conclude the same thing. So, and then there's been other bits that have come forward. So anyways, just to continue with my thoughts, which I really didn't give any about Theodore's, I guess you could say run in with this creature. You and your sister, Theodore, unfortunately were met with this. And I am so glad I haven't seen anything like that. I am so glad. But I've met people who have, and people that get like absolutely run over by these things over and over again every night. Imagine that. Every night being guaranteed you're going to be met with this creature, okay? What is interesting to me and what connects to my personal story, my mother passed when I was young. I was 7 years old, and soon after, I mean, of course I had nothing but great memories of my mother, and but myself, I started having these nightmares of my mom as this thing that was always trying to cause harm, okay? And little did I know, I mean, these dreams just kept going on and on and on for years. It was a very long time before I heard one of my other sisters complaining about not sleeping well because they were having these horrific nightmares of our mom being this creature that was always trying to cause harm to us. And then my other sister also, same dreams. Not only were they the same dream types, we actually saw each other in them. Actually saw each other. So when you mentioned that, I got a special kind of chill. It was a familiar chill Theodore, because you saw your sister talking to your mom, and then you saw your mom change. That is absolutely what I had experienced for so long. I mean, gosh, I just can't even tell you. I think one of my sisters still is having these dreams. And we're talking about decades. I have been fortunate not to, but man, craziness. Like, these things get you to let your guard down. This is my understanding. It got me to let my guard down. Oh my gosh, Mom, you know, going up to give her a hug and this thing changes, solid black eyes, looking horrific, and trying to take a swipe at me or chasing me, chasing one of my sisters. And it's like, my goodness, what do you want? I mean, over and over, just wearing you down, terrifying you, you know? I couldn't understand why this kept happening, you know, and I had a, I don't know if I spoke of this here on this show, I think I might have, I had a psychic come on one of my past shows, and was sharing, you know, I told her, she's a friend, you know, too, and I said, you know, I had a feeling, I'm like, don't mention anything about my mom, I'll tell you about it later. It was a live show that I had. I just had a feeling. She's like, oh, see, Heidi, you are psychic, because I was going to talk about your mom because she stopped by. I'm like, no, please don't. And it's like, oh, we come off the break. And she goes to mention her briefly. Your mom stopped by. She's so proud of you and da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, okay, great. Let's skip over it, right? And not kidding. That afterwards, you know, I spoke to her about this thing that likes to pretend it's my mother, but it's not. And my friend is like, oh, Heidi, your mom's not a demon or anything like that. Everything's fine. So that night, apparently the thing that likes to pretend to be my mother paid her a visit. It woke her daughter up and was going through her dresser drawers, and her daughter screamed, Mom, there's a demon woman in here. She goes running in, and she's like, oh, everything's okay, nothing's in here. She goes back to her bedroom, my friend, and gets slammed up against the wall by the demon lady. And when she tells me this, I'm like, wow, you really are a good psychic, because that was her. I was like, wow. She said, I don't ever want to be met with anything like that ever again. I'm like, me neither. That's why I was trying to avoid the whole subject, you know? But there's more to that story. It was just crazy stuff, just crazy. But yeah, so when you're talking about this for your mother, I'm just like, yeah, very familiar with that. And why would this do that? It is another form, another trick to let our guard down, you know? And, you know, welcome and come on in. I tell you, you know, these things try to get permission from you. And it's pretty easy when they're faking you, you know, they're making themselves appear as your mom of all things, you know, the most purest, most loving person in your entire life that you'll ever have. Nobody can replace. And they try to take the place of that. Isn't that something? So, yeah, a lot of people get tricked in this path of our lives. And, you know, people are concerned about losing their souls to something. And they're like, I must have done something rotten to have this thing keep coming around like this. Well, you might have just let your guard down because something appeared as a sweet puppy that you used to love, or your mom. And, yeah, they cheat. Yep, they cheat to get access to you, to get that permission. So it's not fair. It's not a fair battle. It's not a fair fight. So if you're listening to the influences of something like that, and it's wrong, but it can't be. It had the face of your mom, right? And then you cross over into the next world, and you made some bad choices because something has its claws in you, kind of influencing you poorly. This sounds, I know what it sounds like. Sounds all cliche and everything. But I'm telling you, these people get tricked into this. So when people are like, oh gosh, they went to Hades and there they reside because they did some horrible stuff. But if they were tricked, is that fair? Is that fair? I would say it's not. And I have on good authority that some of those people get out of Hades card sometimes. Mm-hmm. How would I know that? Well, that's another long story. I think I put some of that in my Jesus book. It's a long story. But look at this here. You see how these things work? You see what the games they play? I mean, lost their mother and is going to wear their face like that. I mean, you guys, it is really, really creepy hard to stay alert to some of these things. And that's why I say you've got to close your eyes and feel what's in front of you. Because when you try to go by what you see, it's gonna pull the wool over your eyes sometimes. So yeah, Theodore, I hear you. And wise to you to, as they say, test the spirit, right? And you sure did. Like, no, you've been interred. You are not here anymore. And that's when the gig was up and it knew it and starts to reveal its true layers of deception. So good on you, Theodore, for putting the blast on that thing and sending it on its way. But it sure didn't stop trying. And look at that, between siblings too. Same thing for me, between siblings. How disturbing these things can be and the things that they do. I don't put anything past them. But yeah, I didn't see that you have had anything else going on there, Theodore, but you want to exchange emails. I mean, mailing address for snail mail. So maybe there is more. I'd say you did a good job in sending me this email. So if you could, and if you want to, send me more information, HeidiHollis@gmail.com, or go to my website and send it through as you did there, because it's more efficient for me. And helpful to be able to get these emails and go through them. Oh, but I feel for you. I'm sitting here in solid chills because, boy, did I deal with that kind of thing for a very long time. I didn't know what I was up against. I had no idea. My sisters neither. I mean, they really struggled with it for quite some time. And when we all realized we're all having these same dreams because we didn't talk about it. Who wants to admit you're having nightmares of your very kind mother, you know? Who? Who wants to say that? I know we didn't. We didn't talk about it. We're almost grown before we learned. I put two and two together because my sister was out of the house already and didn't sound so good. I'm like, you good? What's happening? She's like, not sleeping because of this, this, and that. And then my younger sister, she was knocking on wood and throwing salt over her shoulders. I'm like, what's going on? And then she admitted to having these nightmares. She was told this is a way to get rid of them. And I was having the nightmares and then just said, all right, I think we all need to have a talk. And that's when we understood something was at work. Evil. Absolute evil. Just trying to break us down. You know, reduce your ability to sleep, focus, be who you are, sit in terror instead, isolate yourself, get oppressed, depressed, maybe possessed. Who knows? But not anymore. All right, you guys, I've got some more emails here, and we're going to get to those. You guys, you are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM, Paranormal Podcast Network.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Today it is all about your emails. Oh yeah, I'm going through them, feeling it out, and seeing what we got. And I gotta say, these are some decent sized emails. I appreciate that. I always say, the more details, the better. And it helps to paint a picture, and here we are with pictures. No, I don't have actually pictures. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So this one says, Dear Heidi, I heard your interview on Coast to Coast AM. So these emails seem to be around the time that I was on Coast to Coast on George's show. And coincidentally, I just came back from Boulder, Colorado, filming on Beyond Belief with George Norrie. Had a blast talking on my subjects and just kind of going there, you know? So that'll be coming out at some point. all right, so heard your interview, Coast to Coast AM. I have been hounded by ghosts my whole life. I'm 42 now. I've experienced demons, Hat Man, weird entities, black dogs, etc. That's no bueno. I had night terrors growing up as a child. I hate that term. I really do. Night terrors, sleep paralysis. It's just like, just making it seem like it's something other than, you know? But I get it. I know what you're talking about. My parents said I would wake up screaming, just completely out of it. I did that for years and years. Eek. That's no good. The last 5 years, I've seen a few dreams of a demon and some other entities in my bedroom while I sleep. So this is just ongoing forever? Last 5 years? Wow. The recent demon dream experience. It was short, 4 to 5 foot tall, stocky. Oh no. Had thick, curved horns. Yuck. Oh. It was all black, but the skin was cracked, and the lines where they were cracked were red. Oh, this is disgusting. Nasty. Well, in my dream, it poked its head into my bedroom, and I noticed it. Then it, like, teleported, like, and it was within grabbing distance from my legs. It reached out to grab my legs. I woke up screaming bloody murder and trying to kick it. It scared the poo-poo out of my wife and myself. I can imagine, you guys. I mean, I'm very visual. I now know it's part of something called synesthesia. You know, like, you know, if you're trying to eat and somebody's talking about their feet or something, I am almost smelling it. It's in front of me. I'm seeing giant feet, you know. So what an example. But when I'm reading this, I am actually just like kind of visualizing this whole like ram's rack of horns and this short creature. And the cracked, like, skin with the blood red coming through. I just, I've heard of something like this. And we've all seen it in movies, haven't we? I think so. Okay. So, scared the poo-poo out of both of you. And I'm on break as I'm writing this. Oh, you're at work. Okay. But my wife had the Hat Man follow her for months from her work to our home. Yeah, he's persistent. I tell people, it doesn't matter where you're at when it comes to him and some of these shadow things and other creatures, of course, anything that's connected to him, it doesn't matter. If you can move and he stays at a location, good on you. There was something wrong at the place. But I find he likes to pack his bags and move with you. Okay. I would see him in my home all the time. Oh my gosh. Wife and I would both see him. He would stand there and just watch us. Yuck. Little quick background for myself. My mom and aunt could see and feel ghosts. It was passed on to me. There it is. There it is, you guys. I always say, you know, if somebody keeps having experiences with these things, it is because they are essentially quite a prize and are usually have a gift of some sort, usually gifted. It's really such a pattern. These things don't want us to evolve, essentially. All right, so carrying on. I can feel them and see what they look like in my mind. They talk to me. Ugh, hate to hear that. I feel their emotions, and I've experienced stuff moving, etc. I passed it on to my son, and he has the same abilities as myself. Ugh, that's a family trait you don't always take kindly to, I'll tell you that. Especially if it's the dark stuff getting in the way. And actually, to say something to that, if you can see the dark stuff, you could see the light stuff. The dark stuff is blocking your view. Trust me on that one. I know this. It's a big problem. It is a very big problem. It's one of the reasons why they keep coming, to keep the facade, to block your vision. They keep trying to just put out your light and make you not want to look. Who wants to see stuff if it's always dark? But here, if you could see past them and their trickery, you'd see the angelic, the divine, angels, Jesus. You know? It's amazing once you get past these pieces of garbage. Continuing. My wife and I used brick dust, salt, black salt, sage to cleanse our home. But the demon thing still bothers me at night. Yeah, I can see why, because I'm like, what? This doesn't sound really Christian. I don't know what this all is. Okay. To the point I cannot sleep in my own bedroom alone. I would be really interested in emailing back and forth if you would like to know more. I would like to know more about this demon thing that bothers me in my sleep. I don't really tell many people about it because not many people believe in that stuff. Thank you, William. Yeah, well, I could see, William. You tried all these different things, and I don't see you calling on faith, you know, things that are proven, Christian method. I don't know what your faith is. I mean, it could be one of anything. I mean, I have friends that have all sorts of beliefs in all sorts of different areas, and they have all sorts of remedies for things. But a lot of times I find when people use these types of elements, tools, they are what they call recovering Christian of a sort, you know? And I'm like, I don't know why, but it's like, it doesn't suit them anymore. Then they just absolutely go looking into every crevice out there for help. But I didn't see anything about blessing and you taking it upon yourself to stand on that faith and show these things as a door. I see you tried. You did these ritual things, but I don't find sage to be successful unless you're Native American, where that comes from. If these things are connected to your particular faith, where you are grounded in it, then those things just might work. Otherwise, no, I don't find that to be a pattern. And it's interesting to me. I always hope, but then I kind of don't. That, I don't know, to see people say that they called on their faith first, you know? But then, you know, they probably wouldn't be reaching out, though, either. It's a conundrum. I mean, I wish they did. I wish they called on their faith first. Those people probably aren't reaching out. But, you know, when I get stories like this, this is the balance I'm trying to say, because that sounded bad. I'm like, I wish they didn't, and then I wish they did. I wish more people just called on their faith of old, whatever it was that has the God element in it. You know, the same God, the one true God. And to use that to sprinkle it around the house and putting your intentions behind it to say you're not welcome here. If you have that, I don't think you'd be emailing me. Nope, I don't think so. These stories serve as a good example and help others, you know, to that extent. So hopefully I said that right, because I'm not trying to say, gosh, I wish people did or didn't. You know what I'm saying. You know, it's upsetting to me. You know, I wish that more people are just like, yeah, right away. I just called on the Lord and boom. And I do get those emails sometimes, and it's awesome. It's awesome. But more than likely, I find people are doing all of these other things. I didn't see one thing that says, I called on the Lord and put my foot in the backside of these things and sprinkled holy water, or, you know, water that was blessed by yourself. You know, it's powerful, guys. It is. It really is. So, if you want to write me again, William, feel free to. You could also chat with me on social media. I often chat with people. When I get a breather to do so, I do. I get busy. I am always finding the time, however, to respond at some point. You know, and people tell me, I don't know how. Like, well, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy, but I really do my best because I think it's important to keep in touch and keep it real if you're really here to help people get over these dark things. And we can do it, guys. We can do it. All right, we're going to get to our next break. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio at Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Stick around. We'll be right back with more of your emails.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Today, it is all about your stories, and I've been going through the emails here, and I see this other one that I pulled up, and it's massive. I think that I think I might have to save that for the next program, to be honest. you know, and I think it'll give me an opportunity to reflect on something. You know, this is so weird, okay? This is really weird, but I want to share something with you guys. So, every single day of my life since I remembered why I was born, I know, sounds weird, but I was in college, got my memories back, spontaneously speaking with a friend walking across my living room. And every single day, I'm thinking, what more can I do today? You know, that I need to do. I got to get to this. I got to finish something. And, you know, I'm never off task in my mind. And my efforts are always there. The intentions, I don't know how to explain it. I may not always be sitting there writing a book. I may not always be sitting there doing a podcast. I may not, you know, but your presence, where you're at, makes a difference, okay? And you don't always know why you're in a situation or you meet a certain person. And then there's something that gets said and they realize you're somebody that they can talk to or confide in. And that happens to me over and over and over again. And, you know, if one person scoops up a child from getting hit by a vehicle, right? We're like, that's a hero. They did that. It's awesome. And I know we all have these moments all the time. And I've heard a lot of people that have had near-death experiences and they look down and on their lives or they look down on the planet and they watch the ripple effects of doing one thing and how it affects the next person. And it's like, you just don't know how something that you did or the rock you moved out of the way on a muddy path spared somebody from breaking their leg. Because you just thought, well, just to keep everybody safe, I'll move this out of the way. And you spared people. You spared people. You know, I try to think of what it's like. You know, people are like, what's the meaning of life? Why am I here? What am I sitting here doing? And I'm like, I never thought to think so much how others decide and find what's important to them. I've always had so many hobbies. I started off as an art major, cartooning, right? And that's all I wanted to do, comics. And then I was told I'd have to do some figure drawings. I'm like, oh, no, I am not drawing that. No, thank you. I just want to do cartoons and have a good time. So I changed and became a therapist instead. Occupational therapist. So there's people, though, and it's, I find it interesting, that just don't have hobbies, don't have interests in a whole lot, maybe just watching others write entertainment for them, and they watch television. I have found that, you know, I used to love television as much as the next person, you know, growing up and all that. I still do, but you know, I found the most interesting times and entertaining times are when I'm looking at a blank piece of paper and putting whatever it is I want on it. And that can be a drawing. It could be writing. It could be me crumpling it up, throwing it across the room, whatever it is. You know, it's so creating. I mean, the whole creation process. And I just have never sat to wonder how people find meaning in their lives, you know? And it is a process. It really is. And one thing I know in my days and the things that I'm working on, that's what I'm here for. I know that I was supposed to come and talk about these demonic things and give a warning about them, how best to do that, in fact, and to do it a certain way. And I wouldn't want to change for anything else in the world, because this is what I know, is what I know I'm supposed to be doing. So it sounds odd to people. And I get posed these questions of, you know, what are you doing? Like, I'm done with work. I'm going home to put my feet up, you know? And I'm like, oh, that's cool. I go home and I look for emails and messages and try to answer them and try to think of the next show and whatnot that I'll be doing and, you know, who else I could help and, you know, draw my next comic. And, you know, I'm always on task. I'm always on the job because it's that important. I don't know how best to tell people except by constantly telling people. That makes sense. I mean, I don't know what that would be like. Just to sit and chill. If I'm not feeling good, yeah, I'll sit and chill. Yep. But most of the time, no. And if I watch television, it's usually late at night. I'm a night owl. But it's interesting to me that some of the situations I find myself in, it is so purposeful. It is so purposeful. If I'm not on task and ready, I think a lot of different people would be in the dark on these horrible topics. And I mean, I am so very proud to say that I got this opportunity to do this, to warn people and let them know things are at stake called their souls. These things are looking at them as a delicious meal and a way to steer them off the path. And for example, I got into proximity of somebody whose child was being targeted by these dark things. And these people moved into a home and just knew something wasn't right. Things were going on. Things were getting moved. Loud sounds, you know. Just knew things weren't right. And I'm like, oh no. Oh no. Has anybody gotten scratched? And it's like, yes. A small kid, of course. I'm like, oh, does it look like cat scratches? Oh my gosh, yes. Oh my goodness. Are they in threes? And they were just, you know, oh my gosh, how do you know this? And it's like, people think being in these fields are rewardless, you know, like, yeah, why are you doing this? And, you know, sometimes, I mean, especially in the beginning, oh my goodness, I used to get so worn out. I would just have to take big breaks because I was answering so many emails on the topic of UFOs and aliens. And then I started putting the information out there on shadow people and everything changed in overnight. Boom. Paranormal person. How to become the paranormal person? And demons. Like, I'm all in the alien arena. Okay. Yeah, so I'm actually in both. It's all connected. But I used to get so burnt out, I needed to take breaks. And still, you know, every once in a while, I'll just get a little bit overwhelmed. I'm like, oh, it's just me sitting behind the mic. I'm setting things up. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I'm taking it upon myself. And, you know, but it is very rewarding. So when I get people that reach out and they're like, oh, I want to get into the paranormal. So what should I do first? It's like, well, what's your interest? What made you want to take a step into this? Is it just to see these things are real? Is it to get a good scare? Is it in hopes of getting a cool piece of footage to get your own show or something? You know, what drives you? Because passion shows and shines. And if you're going to just, you know, do the superficial stuff, I'd say don't do it. Because you'll get into trouble and then you'll be sending me an email looking for help. I used to get so many of paranormal investigators, especially early on, because they're like, ah, there's no shadow people. I'm like, wait until you see one. And when you do, get back to me. I'll tell you how to best handle it. And it changed so quickly. Were shadow people always out there? Yeah, they were. But they grew quickly, just as I was told they would. And there's a problem with that, guys. There's a big problem. Why this is happening? Why is this going on? Whew. And these next steps I'll be taking, hopefully, pretty soon. Probably the biggest disclosure ever. And yeah, really something else. You know, putting out two horrific phenomena out there was one thing, but there's a whole other level that needs to be spoken of open and honestly. And I don't know how anybody can prepare for it, to be honest. But we're going to try. We're going to try to do our best, aren't we? Indeed, indeed. But do you know what? Count yourself to be in the right place at the right time for a lot of instances and a lot of different waves that connect us all. We are all changing this timeline. We all influence it too. And rest assured, your life has meaning. And these negative things are trying to take a hold and guide it. Don't let it happen. Find your faith. Put your foot down. All right, you guys, we have come to the bottom of another fabulous program. And I have to remind you, go to HeidiHollis.com or ShadowFolks.com. Tell me your stories. Tell me what news articles you want me to cover here, because I dive into those as well, as you've noticed. And also, go and check out TheOutlandersComic.com and at TheOutlandersComic on Instagram. And follow me at one, Heidi Hollis. And yeah, connect. Let's chat. Let's meet of the minds. Let's hear what's going on out there. I am never bored. I'm telling you guys, never ever. And humor is absolutely healing. All right, you guys, you have been listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. We'll see you next time. Stay safe, everybody. Goodbye.
Well, if you liked this edition of Dark Becomes Light, wait till you hear the next one. You've been listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, starting May 6th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.